What about Stephen May? He's contracted for one more season, so he's going to be a free agent at the end of next year. You know, there's this theory or this feeling at the moment that Gold Coast should say, we don't want to go through next year what we did this year with Tom Lynch, so they should put on him now. Sign a long-term contract extension or trade him.
Hello, welcome to the Round 19 Super Footy Podcast. Another massive round of football and a massive game was Richmond and Collingwood. I've got to say straight off the top, why was there only 88,000 there? We need to do an audit of ticketing. But welcome to you, Jay Clark and Lauren Wood.
Fantastic to be here, Mick. And it was interesting hearing the Tigers CEO, Brendan Gale. He blamed a little bit the Collingwood arrangement that they've got for their members. Of course, they get a nice little section in the Ponsford stand. But members from both clubs, I think, are the only ones to blame for why there wasn't over 90,000 there. Of course, general admission was sold out. It was a pristine day at the G. We've had massive coverage in our paper, and I think justifiably so, because until three-quarter time, it was everything that we wanted it to be. And for the last quarter, it was everything you wanted it to be. Of course, Richmond putting their foot to the pedal, as they've been known to do in last quarters, and get the job done.
And they're one game clear on top after West Coast stumble. But, Jay, they've come at a huge cost, this loss, hasn't it, for the Pies? What's the latest on all the injury chaos?
You would think that Nathan Buckley is like stepped on a black cat or broken a mirror or walked under seven ladders. There's something going on because the amount of injuries have just been huge. And of course, Matthew Schoenberg done his three knee
confirmed
reconstruction. Almost certainly. They haven't confirmed that yet, but that's what we're absolutely
hasn't had the scan.
Preparing for. I can't confirm that he has. No. He hasn't had that scan, to be honest. But I think everyone at the club is saying that that's likely the case. I tell you what, it paves the way or opens the door, dangles the carrot a little bit, Mick, for one of the most remarkable stories in the game, and that is Tyson Goldsack. At the moment, he's 20 weeks into his recovery from an ACL. And if he can pull it off over the next month and get back into the VFL team, and then AFL team, it'll be the third fastest knee reconstruction recovery in the history of the game. Spoken to Melbourne Storm centre Sandor Earl today, he recovered in about 6 months, and he's saying that the latest research challenges the accepted medical wisdom that it takes 9 months, or that there are significant risks coming back from a knee.
Libba did it, didn't he?
Yeah, Libba, and then Schwartz did it, I think, as well in 11 weeks, but he did it again. Anyway, if he can come back, it would just be bloody magnificent.
Well, because he's a popular guy.
What's happened to them, I guess, make them reassess their timeline with, as you said, they might have liked to have put him into the VFL for a few weeks. Does the fact that there's no Lyndon Dunn now, Jeremy Howe got concussed on the weekend, I know Brody Majacek's been playing forward, he hurt an ankle and has had scans, does that kind of mean Goldie might not spend as many weeks in the VFL as they probably hoped he would?
It has to, Lauren, because there's an absolute spot there for him. They need a strong-bodied, sort of disciplined defender. You know, if not at full-back, then on the half-back flank. Well, that's the thing.
I suppose you've got to take one.
The latest research, and Julian Feller is the absolute guru here, is saying that players came back quicker, previously. So, look, if he can get back, it would be absolutely huge, because Collingwood, I think they're a chance for top four, Mick, despite all these injuries still.
It's a cruel injury, that ACL. It's too long. Surely by now you can make it an 8-week injury rather than a whole season. What about the goal, the Jack Higgins goal, which they're saying will go down in the history of the Wayne Harms sort of tap on, and it's always Collingwood, unfortunately, on the receiving end. But I was situated near you, Jay, actually, in the Bullring area.
Oh, yes.
And I couldn't quite see what had happened, but on the replay it was an extraordinary goal. And I think that's all rubbish that it was a throw, isn't it?
It was an amazing one at the ground. I was watching from the press box with Glenn McFarlane and Chris Kavanagh, two of our own. And it's funny you mention it. Well, not funny for Matt Schoenberg, but it was in that moment where everyone was trying to work out what Jack Higgins had done that unfortunately Matt was making his way to the bench, and we all sort of went, oh, hang on a minute, he's coming off as something happened there. It was everyone's attention
was
diverted. Yeah, so it was as Higgins was celebrating and everyone was trying to work out what had happened, Schoenberg was making his way to the bench. So talk about agony and ecstasy. But Jack Higgins, he just continues to stun, and I just can't believe it was one of the smartest things I've ever seen on a football field, to be that cool under pressure in front of nearly 90,000 people. He's played, what, a handful of games, I suppose.
Less
than 15,
yeah,
you'd have to
say
off the top of the head. To be that cool under pressure, to know exactly what to do, Glenn Maxwell, of all people, came to mind, passed the ball around. It's it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
It's polarising. Immediately in the box, it sparked talk of whether it was a goal, whether it should have been a free kick, and Collingwood players were scratching their heads. Nathan Buckley was left scratching his head, but
was he?
It was paid a goal, and we just have to treat it like
one. I loved Damien Hardwick, who said, because Jack's copped a bit of stick for leaving school early, but as Dimas said, they don't teach that in the VCE.
Great call. You know what he is, Mick? He's one of the best picks of last year's draft.
Is he the rising star? Is he a chance to make a late run and knock off your boy Stevenson for the rising star?
I don't think he's going to win it, but it's clever recruiting for a club in a premiership window. When you see what he's done, it's like, why didn't every other club take him for the now? You know, he's going to be
too short, they thought.
Well, can he play 200 games? Because it's sort of...
easily.
It looks like it.
Yep.
And so, he's just outstanding recruiting from the Tigers again.
It's an interesting one, too, because you heard Dimmer talk about him post-game, and we're seeing sort of these flashy stuff, and these players do come through the game a lot. You see a bit of flash, a bit of flair, and that's kind of all they're capable of. But it's really interesting to hear Damien Hardwick say yesterday that he thinks they're really only scratching the surface with Jack Higgins. Mm. He spent years and years. I know Sam Landsberger spoke to his primary school teacher, who said he was basically set on the path towards AFL since he was a primary school student, which is just incredible. So who knows what he's capable of. I'm loving watching him.
What about Jaden Short, Mick? Can he make the All-Australian team? And Kane Lambert, I think we said that Gold Coast should go after this guy because he keeps getting better. Tell us about those guys.
Well, he can, but I want to come back to him in our Trade HQ segment in just in a couple of moments. So just a final thing on that game. Richmond, 18 in a row on the MCG. That's a great effort, beating a mark set by Melbourne in the 1950s, I believe. But tell me, Jamie Elliott, has he hurt himself in the VFL?
Shattered. He's absolutely shattered. In the VFL today, I hurt his hamstring. I don't know how severe it is yet, but for a bloke who's out of contract at the end of the year and hasn't played a game this season, I mean, his frustration must be absolute, immense. The Pies are looking forward to getting him back into that forward line the late season, especially on the final stage. But there's a big question mark over Jamie Elliott now, and you think for his contract, I mean, he's looking at a pretty cheap, 2-year deal, maybe. Mm. He's not getting a big offer from anyone, I don't think.
All right, Lauren. Well, all the contenders seem to stumble again. West Coast losing down there to North Melbourne. It is admittedly hard to win down there. But who is the challenger right now? Who's the second best team that you see it right now?
Oh, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I hope I'm not cutting Jay's grass too much because I know he's had a very in-depth look at the run home and the race for the eight in the Herald Sun on Monday. The Giants, for me, I know I said it on here a few weeks ago, I just can't write them off. I know they played St Kilda, who have had a pretty dismal year by their own admission, but they just keep going from strength to strength. They've got great players coming back in. Melbourne, of course, they had that win over Adelaide. West Coast, I think, obviously, as you said, Tassie's become a bit of a fortress for North down there. They stayed in touch. Hawthorn stayed in touch over in the West. So it's an incredible race that's shaping up. A bit of a bottleneck there in the middle of the ladder.
So you've got no idea.
It's usually, well, I'm not quite saying that. I'm saying the Giants. I said the Giants first. I'm sticking with the Giants.
So the Giants.
Yeah, I think so. Collingwood, as I said, for three quarters, I think that was a bit of a grand final preview. I know we've been accused on the Twitter machine today of being a little bit Victorian-centric, but obviously West Coast falling short probably went away to supporting our argument. I suppose that Collingwood and Richmond, it was a nice little dress rehearsal, but I wouldn't discount the Giants. They've had a hell of a bad run, but it could just come together for them nicely.
Didn't the Eagles stuff it up today? I want to see Melbourne on the big stage against Richmond on grand final day.
They worry me, Melbourne.
Yeah, they've got the weapons, the potency to put on a winning score. And I look at Max Gawn and Clayton Oliver. I think they're the best 1-2 punch in the game at the moment, and they're capable of taking it up to your men, Mick. So I want to
see. But I think their defence is their weakness.
Yeah,
and Oscar down there with Lever going down. You know, injuries are play such a massive role. Don't they? Tommy Stewart's now gone down for the Geelong.
Yep.
You know,
He's back in probably 2 or 3 weeks. Just a quick update.
Is he?
Yep.
Right.
So it's not so bad.
All right. So tell me your race to the eight scenario that you
Yes, I've crunched all the numbers today, Mick. I've got Richmond, West Coast, Collingwood, GWS in the top four. And then outside of that, Melbourne, Geelong, Hawthorn, Port Adelaide. As we know in recent years, you can come from outside the top four, Mick. Don't worry about that.
Oh, I wouldn't discount Geelong.
To win it.
Wouldn't discount Geelong. No, they just never, ever go away. We spoke about Gary Ablett the other week. We saw what he was able to do in that last quarter against Melbourne.
Well, if they beat Richmond, yes, but I don't know about Geelong. And
I hope we get
Rance versus Hawkins there. That'd be nice, but it'd more likely be Asprey, would it not?
Can we touch on the Tomahawk?
We can. All Australian?
Is he All Australian full forward at the moment? We've been talking a lot about Ben Brown. Well, I just think Tomahawks...
And Jack Riewoldt.
And Jack, yeah.
It's probably three.
Well, who have you got in the goal square then? Because Josh Kennedy has to be there as well. I'll tell you who's not there. Lance Franklin's not in the All-Australian team this year. If he's picked this year, it'll be on name only. I'll spew up, Mick.
Will you? He's been in 8 or 9 times. And
Wasn't it amazing, though, to hear from John Longmire on Friday night after their loss to Essendon that he reckons Buddy has trained for a combined total of about 20 minutes this entire season, and that he's, you know, with that bruised heel, foot, sort of leg problems, they're not going to have a chance to address it until well after the season. So no, it's just got to pass.
Swans are in all sorts.
Yeah, they got to
gone from fourth to ninth.
Put him in cotton wool now.
Well,
I reckon.
They're 10-3 at one stage, weren't they?
So to answer your question, why can't all three of those play in the All Australian team?
Well, you can put
Brown and Hawkins.
Yeah, maybe. So is it Hawkins full forward? No, Hawkins maybe centre half forward. Jack full forward. Benny Brown on the bench. Where can we fit in Josh Kennedy?
I think Benny Brown will be on the ground. He's going to win Coleman.
Well, but Hawkins is only, what, 4 goals short?
Is he?
Okay. Yeah, he could overtake him. Yeah. So, well, when you kick 7 2 weeks in a row, well, probably does a bit to boost your tally, doesn't it?
How many Tigers would get into that All-Australian team?
Well, what do you think about Dusty?
Dusty's not in there, I don't think.
No, we talked about him last week, didn't we, and didn't think he was in there. But Jaden Short, you mentioned him before.
Ooh.
He could be a sneaky in. Kane Lambert.
Rance.
Yeah. Oh, Alex Rance.
Asprey.
Do you know what, this is a massive fortnight for Geelong fans. So they got Richmond on the Friday night. Following week, it's Hawthorn at the MCG. This is a huge fortnight for the Cats. And it'll be interesting to see if Gary Ablett can rise to the occasion.
Of course he can. All right, Trade HQ, let's get into it. Now, I've made a couple of calls and just checked out the Tom Lynch situation. He is still in Melbourne, had that surgery. I think he's got to go back and see the surgeon and they get a bit of a tick off and so you can jump back on the bird. So let's say he gets back to Gold Coast on Thursday or Friday this week. As soon as he gets back, they're going to want to meet with him. So maybe it happens early next week rather than, I don't even know who they're playing Gold Coast this weekend, who've they got, anyone know off the top of their head. Either way, let's say early next week, Tom Lynch sits down with the club. I reckon as soon as they know what his decision is, then they'll go public with that.
So well, why wouldn't they? Well, it's particularly... Well, you could say it from both ways. First of all, do they demand an answer? You'd have to say yes.
Yes.
And then if he's going, well, it makes no difference to them. They put it out there. But if he's staying, geez, they wouldn't be able to get to their email mailing list quick enough to get that out, would they?
Well, he's not staying.
Does he decided where he wants to go yet?
Well, I must say,
I did spend
a bit of time at Blair Gowrie on the weekend and I was looking out for him because I thought, I'll just walk up to him and ask him, what are you going to do, Tom? but you'd have to think he's decided, wouldn't you, Mick?
I don't know that he has.
No, but he doesn't have to. All he has to say, all the club have to say, is he's decided to exercise his free agency rights.
Yep.
And then after the grand final, the email lobs on the Monday morning. Tom Lynch has requested a trade to Richmond.
A move, yeah.
Whatever. So that's not probably how it'll play out. Yeah.
What about Stephen May?
Well, he's an interesting one, isn't he? You know,
should they force the issue with him?
It's reported on the weekend.
So he's contracted for one more season, so he's going to be a free agent at the end of next year. You know, there's this theory or this feeling at the moment that Gold Coast should say, we don't want to go through next year what we did this year with Tom Lynch, so they should put it on him now. Sign a long-term contract extension or trade him, Mick. What do you think about that?
I get the feeling that there's people within the club who are sort of trying to push him out. And
they couldn't be doing that. He's probably their best player or one-off.
Just a conspiracy theory that I've got that they want to clear the decks and...
get rid of all good players.
Maybe that's where this is all generated from.
Would it be smart?
Within.
Would it be
a
smart?
Rebuild.
Would it be smart to go down that path? Or would you try and... I mean, if he says, no, I'm not going to make the decision now, could you just try and turn him around next year, second year under Stuart Dew, maybe some new recruits... Or would that be a disaster?
They're in need of a major overhaul, that club. How did they lose... They beat Sydney and then lost to Carlton. What's that all about?
It's an interesting one. But you mentioned Tom Lynch and you said Jaden Short before, the update on him. Does the Tom Lynch thing, we keep hearing Richmond, and yet we keep hearing other Richmond players, your Jaden Shorts, your Sean Griggs, getting no update on their own futures at Punt Road? They're playing the waiting game to see how things play out with the Suns co-captain?
Yes,
or?
They are. But with Jaden Short, you've got to be a bit more careful because he's a young player. He's got an incredible... I mean, those 2 goals on the weekend...
Oh, whoever taught him how to kick, whichever junior club they're at, give him $1 million.
And also, what was Collingwood doing, letting him...
Twice
that space. But you got to sign him up. But as I understand it, there's just no talks at all, very little discussion, and he's just sitting there... Wouldn't you offer him a huge amount of money if you were...
But he would know. He'd be happy. He'd be content to wait it out because he knows they're going to offer him a new deal. don't they? So it's like not like they're going to cut him.
No, they're not going to cut him, but you just I'd like to see that him signed up rather than be susceptible to suitors.
Yes.
Could be a nice little bye week booster for you before the finals.
Anyway, tell us about Georgie.
Yeah, so speaking of players that Gold Coast would be keen on, this guy's perfect. So he's a hard ball winner. He's a hard runner. He is really popular amongst the teammates. He offers leadership
as
well.
Who are you talking about, mate?
Georgie Hall and Smith. Yeah. Did we say that off the top? I like to leave you hanging sometimes, Mick. So he's clearly out of the favour at the Cattery. He can't get a game in that superstar midfield. And if he doesn't go to Gold Coast, I reckon there's some Melbourne clubs sniffing around as well. Because, I mean, even a club like GWS, because they've got all those front-running midfielders, you need other blokes. You need the foot soldiers to catch, to pick up their men as a Lachie Whitfield and co stream forward. So if Georgie Hall and Smith's at Geelong next year, I'll be very, very surprised. He's a free agent.
What's gone wrong with him there? Because was it 2014, 15, he played 20-odd games and just hasn't got anywhere near that number since?
He's probably, why? I mean, his ball use is probably the issue. He's probably not as damaging as others, but I have always really liked him. He puts his head in the hole, he runs hard, and I think he can have a full future at another club.
What about another player I saw running the boundary all day, spending a lot of time on the pine today, Mitch Wallace for the Bulldogs?
Yeah. So I think he's going to go. Future? Yeah, I think he's going to go as well. So Brisbane are very keen. I think they've got a 3-year deal in the wings. But also Essendon is probably still the front runner, given I think Mitch lives near Essendon. They need an inside ball winner to replace Job Watson, which they still haven't done. They know he's a really popular guy. He offers leadership and all that stuff as well. So I think Mitch Wallace will probably move on at the end of this year. And like from a Western Bulldogs perspective, it's not a bad idea. Like they need to make some moves with this list. They've horribly underperformed. I know they're young, but they have underperformed in the past two seasons, so they've got to make changes, shake the joint up a bit, Mick, if you know what I mean.
No, I agree. Their fall-off has just been extraordinary, really has. Lauren, you mentioned off the top the Melbourne footballers giving up the grog. What is going on there?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, they had their win over Adelaide on Saturday night, which was huge for them and well and truly kept them in touch and looking at finals action.
Again.
Almost. But I think that was really good, given that they didn't freeze. It would have been, you know, I know we've said it so many times about them this year, but wouldn't that have just been a game that would say typical Melbourne if they'd thrown it away? But interesting to hear Clayton Oliver and Nathan Jones both revealing over the weekend that on the advice of Jordan Lewis, of course, he played his 300th game, some very cute scenes there running out with his three sons. A leaf out of Hawthorne's book, of course, that successful era where they gave up the grog throughout
2008, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Jordan Lewis has sort of offered that up as something they could do, and it's not compulsory by any stretch of the imagination. But
it's not compulsory.
It's just a little bit of advice that, you know, maybe it's all something that we could, you know, embark on together.
Sounds like a beat up, Mick.
I think there's about 10 to 15 of the Demons that have gone down this path at the moment, Clayton Oliver being one. We've seen what sort of form he's in at the moment, so it's... yeah, maybe we should give it a go, but I don't know about that.
The way I'm feeling today, I wish I had have given it a go.
There's not much wrong with a cheeky Tuesday beer, I reckon. Oh, you know, one by yourself.
I'm with you, Wednesday, Thursday.
I need a couple after a game to sort of wind down a bit.
After a night game.
After a night game of playing or watching or
reporting.
Working.
I get wound up. You know, the deadline pressure, all that.
Yeah. I wonder whether this, though, I know that they, the Demons went on the paleo diet altogether about 6 or 7 years ago. That was something. I wonder whether it's not... You know, the booze is one thing and, you know, we know what it does for the weight, and I'm sure the nutritionists down there would be loving the idea of it, but is it maybe something that, as I say, they're all in it together, they're all part of it and working towards the greater goal? I think that's probably more to it than the booze itself.
Now, this Ballarat game, I went down the road today, it's why I've got windburn.
It started
at 3:20. It was like dark at quarter time. The lights were inadequate. Yeah. It was wet. It was windy. Ballarat is actually a great place.
It might have been the worst game
of the season. Spent a lot of time there as a young fella at Hot Gossip and those sort of places. But it's not a great place to have a footy game in the dead of winter.
Nah, I don't know whether the fixturing was probably all that good. I think I was checking the from the comfort and warmth of the office, no less. Sorry to rub it in, but I was checking the feels like temperature throughout the afternoon.
Two.
It did get warmer as the feels. It was minus 5 that feels like temperature at about 20 past 2.
Oh,
so
well, I was on the boundary.
As everyone was
what
making their way into
it
the ground.
What is that? It feels like that. That's just,
well, apparent temperature. Well, I don't know who decides it.
It either is or it isn't. It's
I don't
not
know
what
about,
it feels like.
It wasn't necessarily the fact that they were playing the match there in late July. That's one thing. But the 3:20 time slot, I know Ken Hinckley said afterwards, he actually couldn't see from the box for the majority of the last quarter and had to resort to watching it on the television. I know Luke Beveridge has questioned the fixturing as well. Eliza Sewell's written that for the Herald Sun on Monday, but I just don't know whether it was the smartest move. Great community move, but
play the games early in the year, late in the year.
What's
play
wrong
them
with
Etihad,
1 Mick?
O'clock. Well,
wait, how was
well,
what
we
was
love,
it?
We love the
wrong
community.
With Etihad.
We love the regional spheres.
There's it had a roof. It's working perfectly, and the seagulls and
well,
pigeons.
Well, they're trying to
we love the rat.
Build a market. You
we'll
understand?
Do that in JLT series in
no,
February
no,
when we don't care.
The Hawthorn thing makes the millions of dollars in York.
Was
Park
it the worst
there?
Game you've ever seen of the season
today?
Yeah,
he couldn't see.
You couldn't
all,
see it.
All on the other side of the ground for the whole day.
And you had snow in your face.
It wasn't a, you know, for congestion debate, it wasn't a good day for the anti-starting positions lobby, I've got to say. But anyway.
It was actually a stinky day of footy. Like, I thought this round would be very exciting, and its first couple of days were okay, but today was...
Right, what else you got for me, Lauren?
It wasn't good. Well, we've covered off Sydney. Carlton and Gold Coast, I think that was probably...
The green shoots were back.
Well, yeah, they were. I must admit, I was primarily watching Adelaide and Melbourne, but I saw it put out there on social media today that maybe the green shoots liked the humidity up on the Gold Coast
they needed
and
a
bit of a hydroponic...
Can Cripps win the Brownlow?
I'd be surprised.
He would have got the 3 on Saturday night, but... Would be surprised, much like you, Jay.
Yep.
Difficult when your team is, what, 2 games clear at the bottom.
There's not many games that he's played in that he wouldn't be able to mount an argument from polling a vote or two.
Yeah, but that's not how the umpires operate. They give the player on the winning team 3 votes, Mick. So he'll get a lot of ones and twos. I'm not sure.
Tommy Mitchell got another 40-odd today, so he's probably a runaway, isn't he? Are they Gaff?
No, I'm trying to get my man Gaff home. hey, All-Australian captain, Mick, who do you think is the early pick for the All-Australian
Rance
captain?
Rance was the captain last year, which was a bit contentious, given he wasn't captain of his club.
I guess that if he's going to get picked again, he has to get it again,
which
doesn't he?
Captains have been playing well.
Well, Shannon Hearn earlier in the season, but...
Well, he's a lock.
Well, maybe it's him.
It could be him.
Yeah. It's not Selwood, though, is it?
He's not in the team, no.
No.
Take us through the next round then, Lauren. They're saying it's another super round.
Yeah, well,
we tend to think we hear that every week.
We have lately, actually, which is interesting, given we had so many weeks where the game was copping an absolute beating. But I think the weekend, obviously, Richmond-Collingwood got huge rap treatment in both the Saturday and Sunday Herald Sun, so that was huge. But this weekend, we don't really get time to rest on this one. We've got Richmond and Geelong on Friday night, which I absolutely cannot wait for. This will be my 3rd blockbuster in a row, so I've got to thank the rostering gods for that one, or one girl here in the office in particular. Steph, if you're listening, thank you very much for that.
Does Steph listen?
But, she better. I might have to have a word to her if she doesn't. But Hawthorn-Essendon, hasn't that shaped up to... A few weeks ago, you would have said, probably not one to tune into on Saturday afternoon.
Massive game.
That's going to be absolutely huge for both teams. Of course, Hawthorn, their massive win over in the West, has kept them well and truly in the mix, which I'm sure is incredibly frustrating for supporters of teams that maybe aren't so successful. They don't go away. The showdown and the derby too. So it's going to be massive.
I'm looking forward to the Sunday 3:20 game. Melbourne versus Gold Coast. Steve May will be suspended for at least one match because I think that Melbourne could win it by 150
points.
You
think that could be a silver chair?
It's one for the mathematicians on Sunday. So let's just see how many goals they can kick. I think maybe 25.
The showdown will be great again, but the Crows, we can now say, Jay, that they've gone from a grand final team to 0.
It's been a poxy year for the Crows, let's be honest. They stuffed it up in the camp pre-season with some injuries. It just hasn't worked for them. So it'll be interesting to see how they try and regenerate. They need to get their fitness program right because with all the hamstrings that happened, Taylor Walker didn't have, has been in and out of their team. So I think the major focus for the Adelaide Footy Club will be their fitness department over summer.
Yeah, incredibly disappointing year for them. It just hasn't gone right. It all started with the camp, of course. I reckon if they had a nip that in the bud incredibly early, it feels like that dragged on basically until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, which is incredible. That was just months and months in the mixer, which you just don't need. I know players said it wasn't a distraction. Of course, Rory Sloane's contract, that rolled on. You know, so a lot of talk about Tex Walker. It just, it's been a year to forget for them. Unfortunately, it's come off, you know, the back of a grand final appearance, so a lot of people will talk about that sort of fall off the cliff.
No one's getting any younger. Eddie Betts and all these guys, are they?
Absolutely, so. But completely agree with Jay. The fitness program will be well and truly under the microscope.
All right, that's all we've got time for this week. We'll see you for the Round 20 Super Footy podcast next week.